Appreciate you.
All right, amen. It's been a great week, amen. And we've heard from God. We heard some great messages. The Lord spoke to our hearts. He spoke to my heart. And we've wept and laughed. And it was some great illustrations of what God does, like an old man on George Street in Sydney, Australia. I still have a hard time believing that. It's amazing what God will do with one person. And just tremendous messages out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, new things I learned. I mean, that Bible is a wonderful book, amen. Thank God for the King James Bible. I was just so many each verse. It's like, wow, a new thing there. Another thing there. I mean, you can read this thing 100 times in a week. You're going to get something every time, amen. And the preacher brought it to our hearts. And I was glad to meet Brother Jay Dempsey again. We met somewhere, like you said, along the way. We can't remember where. The older you get, you start forgetting. It's good to meet Brother Gary Neal and hear his good preaching and meet his wife. And my wife, she won an Academy Award while she was up here this week, I understand. And she's going to be starring in a new series called The Wife of Columbo. So that somebody has that. It's out. You can probably see Judy for that. And it's, it never ceases to amaze me what happens in Martville. this is it's a quiet little town. No, this place is crazy. We have a great time and so many memories every time. It's when God's moving. And when you're in a church like this, I mean, it's just a blessing. And thank God and continue to labor here and bring new people in and meet new people. I was glad to meet some new folks here and get to meet you and talk with each of you. And if I haven't met you, meet me after church tonight and we'll talk for a little while. I just love to meet the folks that are up here. Good to see Pastor Legault still fighting a good fight and Judy. But I want to especially thank Pastor CJ and his wife. They were servants this week. They really attended to us and we're humbled by the care and the concern and the love that they really labored all week long. And his wife, with the kids nonetheless, spent time cooking great meals, fellowshipping with us. He took us out and fed us again. And we get a lot of food up here, amen. It's hard to lose weight in Martville, amen. But we enjoyed, every bit of it and meeting all of you folks. I know you love missionaries. And there's no doubt about that. No matter, we don't count the number. We know that we don't compare ourselves among them. There's other churches that may do greater or less, but you know what? Your heart is in missions, and I know personally, and I've seen it by what you've done for me and for all the missionaries over the years. And it's a promise, and you guys keep it. And it's our promise, too, to be good missionaries, because it takes faith on our side, too, to keep the promise. And it's not easy being a missionary sometimes. The hardest part is saying goodbye to your family. And we have two boys that are only 17 and 20, and we'll just cross that bridge when we get to it. But you have to trust God, and you have to commit some things to God. And money's an easy thing to commit to God, amen? But your life, getting in that basket, it's hard to stay in that basket. It's hard to say, Lord, it's like that verse there we keep hearing in this chapter. They gave themselves to the Lord first. And that's what the Lord wants. He just wants your heart. He wants you to give yourself to the Lord. And that doesn't mean you have to be a missionary. That means just be a faithful Christian where you are. And love Jesus Christ every day supremely with all your heart. And God will use you wherever you are. And it's hard. It's hard to be a Christian, whether you're a missionary or just a faithful Christian here in this town. It is a battle, and you're going to face opposition. And thank God for steadfastness. Get Brother Wall every time we're here. See him. Brother Howard. And I'm not mentioning everybody. There's been some of you here that are older than the hills. Amen? And you've been at this for a while, and I appreciate you too, but I'm just picking on a few, but thank you. Thank you for steadfastness. And we hope to be steadfast too. There's bombs going off in Ukraine. There's a chance I lose my wife of 31 years. I know that. I'm not crying. I'm trusting the Lord, but there are dangers involved. And there are sacrifices that every missionary comes through here, they have to call 1,000 preachers to get one meeting. And amen, he's chuckling. He said the biggest lie is, thank you for calling, we'll get back to you, or whatever, you know, you hear on the answer machine. That you don't hear from most preachers. You have to be irritating. And you, I'll be honest right now, we've been on the road since June 1st, and I have not yet cashed one check other than the love offerings we've gotten from churches. And I don't know how much we're getting supported yet. Nothing's come in yet. You said, maybe you're not called, Brother Keogh. I don't worry about that. I know my calling. And I know when the Lord's sending us to go. And whether money comes in or not, we have to live by faith, not by money. And we made a promise to God, we're going to go. So we might have to rob some banks. That's why I got the reward there. Where's that thing? You know? You might actually see that in the post office. We're going to the Ukraine. All right. So I want to thank you, Pastor Caleb, and your wife, Melanie, and thank all of you as a church for being so faithful. Now, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 21 this evening. And it was just a great week of great messages. And how do you follow up all that? Only the Lord will have to speak to us again. And the message tonight is, you know, we heard on Sunday morning, those were bookends. It was kind of interesting this week, the messages we're hearing. Brother Gary started in Acts chapter 2. And here was Peter preaching to 3,000 people that got saved that day. Maybe there were many more. But 3,000 miracles. He said that Peter preached the death, burial, and the resurrection. And 3,000 souls got saved that day. And then a little while later, Brother Don was preaching, and he went to John chapter 20. And while we're here in 21, just glance over in 20, he quoted these verses 21 and 22. He said, Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. Even as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And here we see Peter receiving the Holy Ghost. And Peter being with Jesus Christ in that room and seeing a resurrected Savior. And something happens between him being saved or getting the Holy Ghost. I'd imagine something happened there when he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's a doctrinal thing there. That's so deep. I don't understand everything. But that, he got the Holy Ghost, amen? And yet, something happens in between where he says, I go a-fishing in the next chapter. And the message I want to preach tonight is a conversion takes place in the life of Peter, somewhere along the road. But as the Lord said to Peter one night, he said, Peter, Satan hath desired thee, that he might have thee to sift thee as wheat. Right. And Satan hath desired to have, how do you say, that he may sift ye as wheat. How's that go? Let's look in that. I'm sorry, we have these other verses, but we'll go back. We'll go to Luke chapter 22. I quoted it wrong. You see, the King James Bible is beautiful, because every other version does not say ye or thee. And so you don't know who you is. Amen. Unless you're down south and they say you all. Okay, then you know. Because then it's a plural. You know, you got you and you got you all. Y'all. That's kind of like the King's English there in the south. In Pittsburgh, we say yins. And it's you if it's one. It's yins if it's plural. You got a plural here? What's you guys say? You guys? You all? All right, but when you read these new versions, they just say you. And this is a different topic. I know our message tonight is on missions, but I just want to glorify the word of the Lord a little bit. Amen. If you don't have a King James Bible, you're going to miss this. Look in Luke chapter 22, look at verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. That's plural. He's saying the devil wants all of you apostles. And he's going to go after. And when I die on the cross, the sheep are going to be scattered. But I'm going to need you to be a leader, and I have prayed for thee. He goes on to say in verse 32, but I have prayed for thee, individual, not the you, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. He wasn't converted. That's pretty interesting. He said, go tell my disciples and Peter. There was a time where Peter was not a disciple. And you may be saved here tonight, and you may have been saved a long time. But you know what? You can actually fall away from the Lord in your heart and be in church and be doing those things which are right, but not have a conversion in the ministry to serve Jesus Christ with all your heart. Peter had the Holy Spirit, but the Lord said, when thou art converted. And now we go back here to John chapter 21, and I believe this is the place where Peter got that conversion. And what I'm saying is churches are full of saved people. Many Bible-believing churches are full of saved people, but they're unconverted to the cause. This brother's been preaching and pouring his heart out to all of us here. And I say, Lord, I want to get in that basket. I want to get back in the cause. I've been saved a long time, but I get cold. I get callous. I get a stiffness and a hardness. I've heard this before. I've sung Amazing Grace 1,000 times. And your heart can grow cold. And like Peter there, he said one night, he said in this passage, you know what? The Lord told us to go up there and wait for him. But I've been waiting a long time and he ain't here. How long you been saved, Brother Legault?
April 10th, 1977.
1977, about 45, 47 years. And you've heard the Lord's coming back, right, this year. And then the next year, the Lord's coming back this year. Some of you newbies, you're going to hear that. And you don't hope the Lord does come back this year. But I tell you what, don't let your heart grow cold and callous because he hasn't come back yet.
Amen.
And Peter started, well, let's stop and pray. I'd like Pastor Caleb, if you would, pray for me this evening. Yes, Father.
I pray you bless him tonight. Put a guard about his lips. Help him to say things just the way he needs to say so they can be clearly understood.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we pray that Jesus Christ be high and lifted up and glorified. We draw close to him. Lord, we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I guess what I'm trying to do is pull all these messages as a conclusion to say, hey, you made a promise. And then Paul was really putting it on them Corinthians, wasn't he? He said, now perform the doing thereof. You know, perform it now. How are we going to perform the great call, the great commission? It's hard. And there's times where you're going to say, like Peter, I go a fishing. Well, I'm just, you know what? Jesus rose from the dead. I saw him. He breathed on me. I got the Holy Ghost. And the Lord said to those women, he said, go back and tell that Peter and the disciples, go to Galilee, and there ye shall what? See me. Boy, what an opportunity. I mean, if Jesus Christ gave you word that he was going to show up somewhere down the road here, not far away, and you knew he was risen, and wouldn't you go see him? And if he didn't come when you expected him the first minute or two, would you go fishing? Yes, you would. Peter did. I mean, you say, no, I would never do that. But Peter did. I don't understand it, right? You say, oh, how do those children of Israel question God when he brought them out of Egypt? I do. Peter walked on water. How could he deny the Lord and look down and start worrying about it? But he did.
Right.
I'm just like they are. I think I really can associate with Peter better than anybody else in the Bible. Man, that guy knew how to mess it up, didn't he? I mean, here he was 3.5 years with the God Almighty in the flesh. And yet, one little maid was able to get him to deny the Lord thrice. I don't know the man. Blankety blank. Got under his skin. Just a little girl. Man, he said, it never happened to me. Yeah, just go out street preaching. Have some little girl do something that's contrary and you'll lose it. Oh, you'll get in the flesh. You are no different than those people in that Bible. You find yourself just saying, you know what, I love the Lord. The next day, I'm not going to church, I'm going fishing. Watch it. Don't ever say, you don't know what you can do. Peter's up there in the salt air on that Galilee. Boy, them things, the Lord knows. He'll put you in the place to test you sometimes. Say, why, Lord? Why did God do that to Job? Why did God say, Abraham, take the thing that I gave you, your only son, your only begotten son, and take him up on that mountain now and kill him? Well, the Lord will put you and test you to find out your faith and show you you can do great things with his help. But boy, you got to go through that valley sometimes. And you got to go through the pain. And you got to go through the testing. And God said, I want you to wait up there on the shores of the worst place you could put Peter, on the Sea of Galilee. And boy, he waited a while. He said, Lord, you ever been stood up on a date? Come on, raise your hand. You've ever been stood up on a date? I know, I couldn't get anybody to do that. Come on, brother. James, raise your hand. That's the worst thing. I mean, I guess I'm telling the truth. I have. I've been the worst thing in dating. I was the worst. Thank God. It took me 27 years. I finally met the right woman. I didn't date any girls. I didn't kiss any girls. I didn't know how to go on a date. I mess them up. They didn't even show up. But that hurts. You ever been stood up? You ever have, hey, let's get together and we're going to meet in such and such a place, and you go and no one shows up? No, that don't happen to you guys. But I'm a born loser. I don't know. It happens to me all the time. And it just burns me. What the Lord said to you, occupy till I come. He said, you're going to be the last church, and I want you to stand there and be ready for my coming. And a lot of Christians today are smelling the world, and they're smelling the air, and the fish is flopping in the sea, and they're saying, boy, I like that old hobby I used to. And the world's pulling them further and further away from that place where they're supposed to be waiting for the Lord to show up. And the Lord said, occupy till I come. And some Christians have gotten away from the Lord, and they're out there on the sea now, and they're just messing up. And the Lord needs, some of us need to get a conversion. You say, well, Peter walked with Jesus, wasn't he? He was converted. But you could be converted to the cause, and then you could lose sight of that cause, and you can let the world get back into your heart, and you can lose that joy, and that thrill, and that power, and that love for Christ. And just show up on Sunday and do my duty. Hey, it's got to be more than duty. There's something deeper that we're doing here. This is the real thing. This is the missions to reach the lost in the ends of the earth. I'm not leaving my kids and my countrymen and my life here just to have a thrill and see something exciting. There are lost souls that are dying and going to hell. Some old woman that Brother, I think, Don, went over there, knocked on her gate, and she came over with a toothless grin and a knife and said, who are you? And they said, we're missionaries. We've come to tell you about Jesus. And she said, at the ends of the earth, you've come to tell me that somebody cares. And that touched my heart. Didn't it touch your heart? You say, how can I go? Man, you gave a faith promise tonight. Be faithful. Say, I don't want to renege on that. I want to stand. I want to be part of it. I want to get behind those missionaries going to Indonesia, going to Philippines, going to Zambia, going to Israel. I want to get behind that thing the best I can, Lord. I'm going to be faithful to church because I love you, Lord. And I want to show you I love you in sincerity by doing what the preacher Paul said, that to demonstrate your love and the sincerity of your love. This is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just a club. It's not just a bar where you watch TV or a restaurant or something you used to be part of in the world. We're part of the body of Jesus Christ. And this is the greatest commission in the history of eternity. I don't even know if that works. History of eternity. It's an oxymoron. But you know what I'm saying? The greatest thing that we can ever do is be part of that miracle. And how did God get Peter from a 50-gallon drum worm in his hands one night outside the temple to standing on the streets proclaiming Jesus Christ boldly without a shame, and said, we are not full of new wine. He started preaching, this is that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet. Amen. We're having visions. Young men will dream dreams. This is the word of God being fulfilled. Amen. How did he get all the way over there? Something happened. He had to go through something. He had to be humbled. He had to get a vision. He had to listen to God's voice in his own heart. And so God showed up this night. Isn't the Lord good? Even when you walk away and say, I had it, I'm going fishing. Hey, when you go fishing, you might take a few with you. That night they said, we also go with thee. Well, you could do a lot of damage if you get out of God's will. I'm telling you, it breaks my heart some of the things I've done and how I wasted some years as a Christian and wasted time as a Christian. And think about some people's lives. I could have been bettered and I could have improved and helped, but I was playing tiddlywinks in this world. I was playing games. I mean, it's not all just, I mean, I play games. It's okay to play games. I'm not talking about going home and playing Sorry or Risk. You know what I'm saying? But I was not serious about my devotion to God.
Come on.
And I went fishing for a while. I went back to some of the things I love more than Jesus Christ. He said that later on, we don't even get into that part. He says, lovest thou me more than these?
That's right.
Is there some things in your heart and your life tonight that have become first place again, that you put away a long time ago, and it just starts creeping back in like it did that night in Peter's life? And he says, I know Jesus said to stay here and wait for him, but I ain't got time for that. I'm going fishing. And you know, I mean, I could kill somebody. You got little kids at home. You got family members that look up to you, and they admire you. He was the prince of preachers. He was the head of the apostles. And those men said, Peter, where you go, we're going with you. And if you mess up, you don't know how many people would just get out of church with you. You don't know how many lives you could just devastate. But that's the miraculous thing about this church and what's going on, about that man down on George Street. Just one man can change the lives of thousands. And then how many families are in here where someone got saved and they said, hey, you need to hear this. And they led their uncle and then that family got saved. Hey, there's a lot of people in here can say, that person over there brought me to church, brought me to Christ. And Peter was instrumental in seeing 3,000, but boy, he was that close where God could have said, I'm done with you. You messed up before, you messed up again, but oh, thank God he's so gracious. Amen. He'll give you, as long as you're alive, he'll give you chance after chance after chance. He's a gracious God. So if you've been messing up, you can come down the altar, or you don't have to come down the altar. You sit in your chair right there and say, God, here's my heart again. I've been messing it up, Lord. And I don't want to go down and go fishing again and get back in this world and find myself where I can't get out again. Hey, and you know what? Peter messed up again later on. He's eating with the Gentiles. He's eating those bacon-wrapped jalapeno poppers. And he goes, oh, you Gentiles, you know how to eat. And all of a sudden, here comes a certain from James. And, oh, I can't eat with those brothers no more. And the Lord had to stand. Peter had, he had to just tear his hide off of Paul. He just stood him to the face. He says, if you destroy that which, he said, you build, build that which you've destroyed. You're building the law up again. You're separating from the Gentiles. And you know, I'm just saying, the Lord let him fall again. And I'm going to tell you what, Christian, if you knew at this, you're going to fall on your face. You're going to mess it up. There's going to be times where you just want to quit. But the Lord will say, don't quit.
Amen.
I still love you. And you know what? Peter's a good example. I'm going to convert you. I'm going to change your heart again. Just bring it down to the altar, and I'll give you a fresh slate.
Amen.
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 And I'll tell you, but you could mess people up. Peter was at a crossroads. I remember I took my wife. I taught her how to hunt. Little girl from Brooklyn, New York. It's in their blood, though. She's from Sicily. I took her out. She learned how to hunt, and I said, hey, now we're going to go learn bow hunting. This guy here taught her a lot about bow hunting. He made her climb his tree stand. You know how tall he is. These spikes were this far away. You know, I don't know how she got in the tree. Anyways, I said one time to my wife, we're going down to Lehigh Valley. We're going to put a blind up. And we got down there, and it rained all the day before and at night. And we got down to the creek, and I didn't want to get my boots wet, so I tied plastic, Walmart bags on my boots. That's the dumbest thing in the world. There was water in the bags before I got in. I got to get back out. Took the bags off, put my boots in a, I'm weird, I'm like a cat. I didn't want my boots wet. I hate that. And I put the boots in the bucket. I had a blind on my shoulder and my wife in my arm. And I pulled my pants up. And I'm going out into the creek, and it's up to my knees, and it's not that far. It's about that door there. And I start getting out there, and my wife is now floating. We hit a flash flood. I never knew what a flood. I've heard about flash floods. This thing was up to my belly already, and we're halfway, and now the other bank, and I'm determined. I don't quit. You know, that's the way I am, you know. I mean, when I went through the Navy SEAL training program, they'd tie our hands together and tie our feet together, and then they'd tie our hands to our feet and then throw us in the water. Quite a few of them nearly drowned. One guy, they had Hogan. They had him under the pool. They actually drowned him. They pulled him out and resuscitated him after 5 minutes, and he said, nobody says a word about this. Brought him back to life after 10 minutes. And we got out in that river, and I'm out there with my wife, and she's floating this way. Now, the good thing was I took my boots off, because I have a specific talent. I have gorilla feet. And my toes curl up underneath my feet. I mean, they're really strong, stronger than my hands. And I was holding on to these rocks. There was a ridge like this. And it was actually, I was holding on to the rocks with my toes. And I was able to get closer to a willow tree. It was hanging over there. And I was praying harder than I ever prayed. And I got over there and I was able to just get a little bit of a branch. And I pulled her in. And we got into a whirlpool about here. And I was getting out of there. And I pulled, I got on the shore. And I threw her up on there, you know. And then she got up, and we got into these things we call jaggers in Pennsylvania. They're like rose bushes without roses. They're green, and they're arches. And we were going through them and getting all cut up, and she finally sat down on a log. I said, sit there. And I had this weird idea that I'm going to swim back over across the river and get the car and bring it around somewhere. I didn't know where. I didn't even tell her. And I got caught away in that river. And I went down, and it was over my head now, the flash flood, and I slammed into some rocks and nearly broke my legs. I mean, they were all bloody from here down. I got backed out of shore, and I come up there with all these ripped pants and bloody legs, and she's crying, ah! And I said, man up, we got to get out of here. I was like, show compassion to my wife. The man up, that's all I said. And we finally walked for miles, and it took a half a day. We finally heard some gunshots, and we found our way out of the woods and found some old hillbilly guys, and they drove us back to our car. So who cares, brother? What's all that story about? You know, I'm a strong swimmer. But I think back on that day and what a fool I was. I mean, you have a lot of faith. You're saved. You know you have eternal security. You know that all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. But you know what you do? With your strong faith, you take somebody into that river, and you get on the other side, and you lose them, and they die. That's on you. What I'm saying is, Peter, it's easy to say, I go fishing. It's easy to go out there in the big waters sometimes with your strong faith, and you might get back. But who's going to be left behind that you might destroy their faith? Who might never get out of that river? That's real. As real as that river was in Lehigh Valley. There's people out there that need you to be converted to the cause and get a vision of Jesus Christ on that shore and say, Lord, help me to see you. I mean, Peter didn't even know it was the Lord. Let's go to our text. It says, and after these things, Jesus showed himself. We're in John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. He wants to show himself to his church. He said, go up to Galilee and there ye shall, what? See me. That's what the Lord wants us to see in all this. In missions. In the saving of souls. He wants to demonstrate his mighty power. In his grace and his love. Why did he let Adam and Eve fall? He wanted to be seen by men of what a great God he is. I don't understand it all. But when we get the glory and we see him on the throne and the multitudes rejoicing that they're in glory, we will then understand it. But Jesus wanted to demonstrate who he was. And there were together Simon, Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, and the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. I mean, there's a day when Jesus is going to come. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. And Jesus is going to stand on the shores of heaven coming down, and he's going to say, come up hither. And many are not going to even know who he is or who. What's going on. What's that shout? What's that sound? Christians who once served the Lord are going to be so dull, so ears filled with the din of the noise of this world, with their fishing, they won't recognize the Lord at his coming. Peter didn't. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, and it's sad refrain, no. I mean, we're talking about the Lord's coming, and you going up with in the rapture, are you going to have somebody to take with you? Are you going to be part of the saving of salvation of souls in this generation and say, I had a part in that, and I led that person to Christ? Have you learned how to win somebody to Jesus Christ? Do you know the Romans Road? If you don't, you need to talk to your pastor. You need to talk to one of the men of God in this church that leads souls and learn how to win others to Christ. Because the Lord's going to ask you, children, child, have you anything for all the night that you went fishing down here? All of your life, what have you to show for it? Boy, that's a pretty solemn thought, amen? When Jesus shows up, he asks him the first thing was, children, have you any meat? Peter, a commercial fisherman, man, you imagine him that night? He tried everything. And he's pulling on ropes, and he's sweating, and he says, it ain't working. And he tries, let's go over to that spot over there by Capernaum. And they go over there. You know, you ever do this in life? You get that haywire. You're trying to make everything work in your flesh. Right. You're trying to make everything work out by your own power. Come on. And you're coming up empty. Right. And you keep trying. Yeah. You keep banging your head. And you're miserable. You know, it's not coming. You've got no, there's no fruition. There's no fruit. There's no results. And, man, he's throwing clothes off. You can imagine. How did he get naked? It says, for he was naked. He jumps in the water when he sees it's the Lord. And John's like, it's the Lord. Man, he was naked in the church age. Amen. He's the Lord says, but though it's not that thou art all these things. And he said, naked? You don't even know you're naked. It's like, you know, the king, you know. Remember the parable, the story of the king that was naked? He thought he had, a robe on. He's walking down and. It's like he wist not, like Saul, Samson. He wist not that the Lord had departed. And there's a lot of Christians, they don't realize it. They're just walking around naked spiritually. And here he is. He's fishing. He knows how to catch fish. And he's got nothing. And then he hears the Lord. That was the same thing the Lord tells him now. Cast on the other side. You'd think he'd get it then, right? Remember when the Lord first met Peter and then that same thing, no fish. And the Lord told them, cast your nets on the right side. It's like, do it right. Just do right. Here tonight, just say, Lord, I surrender. Maybe I've been fighting you. I'm doing it wrong. I'm not saying anybody is, but I don't know what your heart is here tonight. But you can be just walking in the flesh, going to church, and be unconverted. And the Lord wants to use you on the day of Pentecost. And the Lord wants to transform your life. And the Lord wants to get some fruit out of you. And yet you still will try exhaust every avenue and every method first. Until finally you get naked. We're talking about the vocation of God. What is your calling? He was a fisherman, but the Lord said, I want you to be a shepherd now. I want to change your life, Peter. Don't you know that? And when you became a Christian, God says, I want to change your life. You drop the baggage. I know you brought all this stuff with you when you got saved. And it's like, this is how it's going to work, Lord. And the Lord's like, you got to get rid of all that. It ain't going to work. You have to do it my way. And the Lord says, you're no longer a fisherman. I said, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. And you're trying to catch dead things under the sea, dead things that are formed under the sea, under the waters, under great waters. And you hear what I'm saying? Some of you are chasing the things of this world, and you got a good profession, but God wants to use your gifts for his great glory. Paul was a Pharisee, and God converted him. He used his knowledge of the law and the Old Testament to glorify Jesus Christ. Some of you are mechanics and have ability to use your hands. You're not using them for the Lord. Some of you have a brain, and you can use that thing for the great glory and the cause of Christ. Some of you have a compassionate heart, and you waste it on things of this world and not on the glorification of the great Savior who gave you that heart. What is your gift tonight? Peter was a fisherman, but he was wasting it on the wrong things. Amen. He didn't have the vocation. And Paul said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You are all called here tonight as Christians to get into the battle, to get into the fray, and say, Lord, what is my gift for Jesus? And help me to use it to the maximum. Help me to give you glory and honor and to use my mind, my heart, my soul, my will for your glory. And Peter finally saw that this night, and he jumped into the water. The Bible says, and he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I mean, the Lord can bless your socks off. That's what they've been saying. And trust the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You want a wife, you want children, you have a car, a house. Those things are natural. There's nothing wrong with that stuff. But boy, you chase that stuff your whole life. What is going to happen at the end of your life if you don't give your heart to Christ? He's going to say, children, have you any meat? You followed the wrong vocation. I heard Brother Jay, he's saying how he was very successful in 33 states, was a manager in another company over four states and doing very well. And the Lord said, I want you to leave all that, because I've given you business sense and acumen to use for my glory somewhere else. I'm not saying leave your job, but use your abilities for the cause of Jesus Christ. If you're a nut like Bill Eubanks, rent a plane and get 1,000,000 tracks and dump them over Rome. Amen, if that's all you can do. He did something. I admire that guy. He fought till death, man. He was a faithful preacher. But if you're a soft-spoken person, go knock on your neighbor's door and have tea with them and open up the Bible with a friend and show them the love of Christ. It takes all kinds. Like he said, here's the biggest nut he ever met. Amen. Brother Gary, he has his gifts, and he married the pastor's daughter, I believe. And then God calls him away and says, I want you to go out now and be the wings of the Word of God and take it to the ends of the earth. And it takes a sacrifice. Just whatever God, you start small, God will use you. Little as much when God is in it. And all Jesus had on the fire was one fish. They finally brought in 153. I think that's what the number was. And it's like the nations. And Jesus had one, that was Israel, on the fire. Something to think about. And here they brought in those fish. And then it says, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship. And just to closing, you know, we need a vision of Jesus on that shore. Amen. You know, first of all, it's a high vision. He was up on the shore. We need to see Jesus Christ lifted up. We need to lift him up in our lives more and more. Does he get the glory in your life? Do people know you're a Christian at work? Do they know you're a Christian on your street? Do they see Jesus in you? He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Our job as a church, as the body of Christ, is to lift Jesus Christ up in this community and all through America and all through the world. And that's what we need to do. It's a high vision. We need to see Jesus lifted up. We need to lift him up. Amen? But it's a humbling vision. When we see Jesus Christ, we abhor ourselves. We should. We should be like those Old Testament prophets. I abhor myself in sackcloth and ashes. Who am I, Lord, that you would use? A king like you would spend time with me. That a God should become a man and die for my sins. What a great God. Amen. And Peter, when he saw Jesus, he saw himself. And the more we see Jesus, the more we will see that I am unworthy. It's not me, Ed Keogh. Boy, I tell you what, I am not the man for the missionary job. But the good guys didn't want it. So God had to just take tough apples, amen? He just had to go with me. I feel that way. There were other men that were better suited, men that had gifts, but they didn't want to go. And the Lord looked around and said, well, there's nobody else. I have to take you. Come on. I praise the Lord. Amen. He will use people like Peter. Peter wasn't perfect by no means, but the Lord still took him aside after he humbled himself. And he got that high look and he saw Jesus and lifted him up and got a humble vision and said, Lord, forgive me. And he was grieved when he had to spend time with Jesus. But then it became heartfelt. He heard the voice of Jesus say, children, don't ever forget you're a child of God. Amen. And Jesus said, my favorite verse in the Bible, come and dine. Amen. That's a Baptist verse. Amen. Amen. You know what the Lord, after all he messed up, the Lord says, I still want to eat with you and drink with you, and I'm knocking on your heart door. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And if we would just get a vision of how merciful and gracious and loving Jesus Christ is, we'll just want to spend more time with him. Nobody ever loved you like Jesus Christ. We have a vocation. We have a vision of Jesus Christ. And we have the voice of Jesus Christ. And he tells us clearly in this chapter what we need to be doing. It was a convicting voice. And tonight, ask yourself, have I done my best for Jesus? Amen. He said, have ye any meat? And we've said that. But, you know, it's going to come down to where the Lord says in the verse, I think it's in 1 Samuel, it says something to the effect, talk no longer exceedingly proudly, neither let arrogancy come out of thy mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him, what? Actions are weighed. The Lord's going to say, time to bring in your nets. Your life's going to end. You're going to be, before you know it, 50 years old, 60 years old, 75 years old, 85 years old. Just around the corner, you're going to be 92, and the Lord's going to say, time to come home. I mean, this life goes fast. Your life is but a vapor. And the Lord's going to say, okay, you've been out in the field there for 85 years. Let's see what you've done. What have you picked? Have you any meat? I died on the cross that you would be my witness. I saved you and you have that talent. What did you do with the talent? Children, have you any meat? That's a convicting voice, amen? And if you'll listen to that voice tonight, the Lord's asking you, do you have anything to show for the life I've given you? For the graces I've given you, the gifts I've given you, Christian? What would you answer? The night is far spent. It's a correcting voice. The Lord will say, okay, maybe you have nothing. Now here's what I want you to do. Let's change something. Start doing it right. I mean, just like Bob Jones Sr. said, do right. It ain't real deep. It's not hard. Doing right's easy, amen, if you just let God have his way. If he said, if I could put two words over every overpass, on every chalkboard in every schoolroom, do right. Do right. Amen. Though all hell's battlements are aimed at you, do right. Though the stars fall from their silvery sockets, do right. Just do right, Christian. And if you've been doing wrong, here's just one thing you do. Just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've been doing wrong. I'm sorry. And I want to do right. And I'm going to start casting my net on the right side. And I'm going to do things the way Jesus Christ said to do it. It's a comforting voice. Like I said, He said, though you have nothing, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you something, and then you can come and dine with me. And boy, we have a wedding feast waiting for us, amen? And lastly, I'll say it's a challenging voice. Let's close the text here tonight. It's late, and it's been a great week, amen? It's been a lot said and a lot, and hopefully we'll be able to perform the doing thereof. And we'll go out, and Lord willing, if the Lord doesn't come this year, me and my wife will go to Ukraine, and y'all pray for us. Brother Don Sturts, I've been wanting to meet him my whole life. I got to meet him here. I got to meet Brother Gary, and good to see you all here. But this is a passing. Our job is to get to the field. And the Lord wants you to be faithful in your field. How are we going to reach those 3,000? We need to be converted. We need to go from I go fishing to, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Amen. Lord, thou knowest all things. The Lord said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Who are you feeding tonight? Who are you shepherding tonight? Hey, God didn't save you just to be alone and do this thing alone. No man liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. God wants you to reach somebody in your life, and you're accountable for that soul. Pray to God, transform your heart, and give you the gift and the power. Peter didn't have anything but what God gave him on that day in Pentecost. It was the power of God. Amen. Peter failed, and the Lord still used him because he said, okay, Lord, I'm all yours. I love you. You know I love you. But what about this man? Don't worry about him. Follow thou me. And you do the right thing, Peter. And so he did. And he stuck his hands for him. By the end of time he was done with that thing, he died. He put his hands and they crucified him upside down. And he obeyed Christ, signifying what kind of death he would die. We don't know, but you know, it's challenging and comforting, but challenging tonight. What we have said and promised tonight. By the grace of God, let's do what we promised to do. Amen. And let's ask God to give us grace and mercy to fulfill the Great Commission. Thank you, Pastor, if you'll come. To go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Here in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. We have a Great Commission. Amen.